Welcome back, guys, to another episode of Advanced Warfare. With me, as always, is my main man, my cohort, Scott. What's happening?
Hello?
Looks like he's dry brushing away on some models. I should probably hobby myself, but here we are. I'm not.
Well, you're not a crazy person and is doing a whole new army for a team.
I have. Don't forget, I've done that several times. In fact, I've done that for regular GTs as well. Yeah, let's not forget New Mexico, okay? I've never played demons. True. I'm going with demons.
Yeah. Hey, you did all right. You did good.
Yeah, no, I was very happy with my turnout at New Mexico. A Thousand Suns can kiss my butt. But anyway.
Yeah.
So,
what do you get round one? Hard counter to the armor I brought. Fucking awesome.
Woo! Yeah. Face cap Bloodthirster. Would be real shame if I could shoot, psychic, and charge you. Uh-oh. SpaghettiOs. Anyway, as the floodgates continue to open, obviously we've seen some stuff happened. There's been some unreleased content hit the internet from, like, if you want to check that out, you can check it out at some of the other sites that will do that. We're only going to review what GW has released because, one, we know it's verified information, and two, we don't want to be hype men for, well, misinformation. And also, we don't want to encourage people to leak, because what that does is it encourages Games Workshop not to trust us with information. So sites like us, or, you know, like Art of War,
player
and all
base
that,
in general,
just a player, yeah, just a player base in general. You know, if it's their prerogative to keep stuff a secret because they want to create hype on the game and that's part of their business model, if you are leaking information that they are trusting you with, you're literally hurting their business model. So I'm not saying that that's how I would run my business. I'm just saying that I have to respect how they want to do theirs, and if you don't respect it, then that's maybe, you know, your own thing. And it's fine if you like to see that information. I obviously looked at it too. It's not like I'm not going to look at it. But I'm definitely not going to make a public post about it and make it even more wider spread. Because, like I said, if GW wants that information out to us, they'll give it to us. Otherwise, I'm just going to stick with what we have. The only thing I'll say is that the slow drip, as Scott called it earlier, is driving me insane. I don't want to play ninth any longer, seeing what I'm seeing with 10.
Get in my face! Stick in my face!
Just give me the addition, dang it. Like, I just need it to hook into my veins so I can absorb it. Like, I'm really one for information, right? Like, I love dissecting new codices. I love, if that's even how you say the plural one of that. You know, I love new additions. I just love thinking about all the different possibilities. It's what makes this game a lot of fun for me, because I do that while I'm playing the game as a reactionary player. And just all this stuff is pretty fun. And something that I've gotten a lot better at lately is, in fact, list building. That used to be one of my weaknesses, hanging on to old relics of the past of what used to work for me. Now I feel like I've kind of broken through that mold. Scott, would you agree or not agree?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yep. Definitely.
So, I mean, that was me of a long time ago. I've been good with building lists lately for quite some time. But anyway, this new edition is driving me nuts because I'm getting pieces of factions that I want to just absorb. And some of the, you know what, that's not fair. I play a lot of different armies, but obviously you guys know me for Templar. You see me on the Eldar, Grey Knights. Those are really like my main three, I would say, but I have branched out to other stuff like Votann. I've played a decent chunk of. I had like 20 plus games of Votann before they nerfed them. And I gotta tell you, I'm glad they nerfed them. But we'll talk about that in a little bit. We're gonna talk about Votann tonight because Votann got a little bit of a spotlight. Well, one of the things I wanna bring up is I'm gonna make a plea, Games Workshop. I like that you do these Terminator kit here from the starter set. It's pushed to fit. I like this, but at the same time, for the love of God, make it more customizable and stop doing stuff like just the top of the hand needs another piece on it when there isn't another piece that could physically go there. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing you can switch out here, but somehow I need to put one single armor plate on the top of this hand with
a
push to fit.
We're going to do the push to fit, and then you're going to get the real set, and you'll buy those as well, because you want to customize them then.
I'll customize these anyway. It's just a pain
in
the butt.
This way they can sell you two. This way they can sell you two copies instead of one.
Oh, yeah. Okay, but anyway, the push to fit, guys. I like to push the Fit Blade Guard and the Eradicators. They were pretty nice. Now, hopefully, these guys are pretty well engineered. You know, their engineering team has been phenomenal, so I don't know why I'm complaining. I just wish
hopefully
they were a little
there's
bit
no mold
customizable.
Lines in the middle of their mold lines in the shoulder pads was shitty in the first push to fit ones in 8th edition, I think.
Yeah, okay, that is true. That is very true. But anyway, I still like
fix
it.
Fix that issue.
Yep. So moving on, like I said, 10th edition is coming out in Steam. We've seen some of the way more factions since we talked last time. They're doing about one a business day, so we're getting about 5 a week. They're also doing other stuff like take a look at these cool models, take a look at these different data slates that are coming out, which we'll talk about too, like the Gaunts. And, you know, it's really doing a good job creating a buzz, but it like I said earlier, it is really killing my motivation to do anything 9th edition. And it's just, I just want to play the new game, man. It looks a little bit more well written. Granted, they've definitely fallen back on some promises. As Scott mentioned earlier, I don't know if he did it live or if he did it offline, but they said no re-rolls and almost
less re-rolls,
and almost every data slate we've seen has some sort of re-roll, whether it's to wound or to hit or whatever,
or to advance or to charge or on your battle shock or whatever. I don't know.
Right, something has a re-roll every data slate, but there's less of them. I'm not seeing it anyway.
Or you got a bad one. Like, your whole army gets rerolls. Just stand within 6 inches of me and you get rerolls.
Yep. I mean, yeah. It is what it is. But anyway, let's talk about some of these rerolls. Let's move on to the... We're going to kind of do... I don't know how else to describe this other than we're going to read over what GW said and kind of give our impressions of just from the snapshot that they gave us. We're going to start off with Sisters of Battle today. Now, one thing I want to remind people is that we don't have points. And we don't have the rest of the data slates. And we're assuming that the army rule is the only army rule that's going to come out for them. That may be different. We don't know. We don't know a whole lot yet. But so, unfortunately, we are going to have to give our opinions in like what's called a vacuum, you know, looking at what we have here and what we currently know from 9th edition. So if we're wrong in the future, don't come with pitchforks, okay? Because all we have is like 5 paragraphs. So,
I mean, points is probably the most important thing because, like, a unit can have all the rules in the world, but if it's, like, overcosted, it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
No, a 5, like, Gaunts being, like, 4 points would, like, be busted as fuck, and they could have just no rules other than this be one model.
Yep. Yep. Anyway, starting off, Sisters of Battle. They've got some cool pictures here, some Paragon War suits. Hopefully these things are a little bit better. Acts of Faith. So these are very similar, but not quite the same. So, gaining miracle dice. First of all, if your army is Adeptus Sordis and everything from your army is Adeptus Sordis, then you can get an act of faith. You can perform one act of faith per phase. This is, and it's each unit. So, it's the same as it was before. So, like, 3 Battle Sister squads, you can do an act of faith on all 3. So, all right. Start of each turn, you get a miracle die. And then when an army or a unit from your army is destroyed, you get a miracle die. And then you roll a d6, and then you get the value of it just like before. And then you have to keep them to the side just like before. Performing an act of faith is a little bit different. Before making a dice roll from a unit army, act of faith ability, you have one or more dice in your miracle dice pool. That unit can perform an act of faith. If it does so, select one of your miracle dice from the dice pool to substitute that dice roll. If a roll involves more than one dice, i.e. a charge roll or battle shock test, only a single dice can be substituted. The dice that is being substituted is not rolled. Instead, the value selected of the miracle dice is used as if it had been rolled. This counts as an unmodified dice roll for the value for all rules purposes. Each miracle dice can only be selected for substitution once. Once miracle die substitution you have been made, remove chosen miracle dice from your miracle dice pool and roll all the remaining unsubstituted dice as part of your dice roll. You can use a miracle dice when performing an act of faith or any of the types of falling dice rolls. Advance rolls, battle shack test, charge roll, damage roll, hit roll, saving throw, wound roll. So, the big thing here is that you can't use 2 dice. So you can't get auto charges. You can almost guarantee it with a 6, but you can't get auto charges.
Not a 12 anymore, but...
Right.
The 12-inch charges was kind of what I'm glad has gone away. Like the auto hitting your 10 or 12-inch charge. So, you know, it puts some uncertainty back in the game. So,
yep.
That was like the sister's superpowers, that they could take all the uncertainty out of it with Miracle Dice if you got the right ones.
Yep.
And honestly, I'm glad they kind of did this, because like we'll see further on. Like, I think sisters will be drowning in Miracle Dice.
Yeah.
I think they're going to have plenty.
Yep. So the next they showed the Hollow Martyrs detachment rule. I'm not sure what this means, if that this is the only one that's available per launch and they'll have more with the sisters book, or if this is just kind of a prelude to that there are different, like, Bloody Rose and all that for sisters, even though it doesn't look like it going that way. We'll just have to see. But yeah. Each time an Adeptus Sororitas model from your army makes an attack, add one to the hit roll if it's below starting strength. Add one to the room roll if it's below half strength. For the purpose of this ability, the unit has a strength of 1, is considered to be below starting strength while it has lost one or more wounds. So stuff really can't be chipped down, or it's going to get pluses to hit. And then if it's really hurt, it'll get +1 to wound. And with, you know, and I think that's important to know that, unlike these big tanks and stuff, these things are starting to not degrade until they're like super hurt. So it can get probably a good round of +1 to hit, +1 to wound on, like, what's that tank that's like an autocannon? And that thing would
Castigator.
Be nasty. Castigator, yeah. That thing would be actually pretty good sitting at around, you know, 6 wounds left. If it does, as long
for
as it
once.
Doesn't have like the, like, damaged 1 to 5 remaining or whatever that some of these vehicles have.
I think it probably will, but I mean, even with that, it's still not terrible.
Correct. And then, you know, and their example is if Celestine has lost her to Superior Gemini, she gets stronger, which is good. Now we're going to go into the one that makes me laugh really bad, and that is the Triumph of St. Catherine. Scott, do you have this pulled up?
I do, yeah.
Okay, let's I want see. You to look underneath on the right side on the abilities, and what does it have?
Axe of Faith.
Above that.
Leader. Oh, leader. I missed that. That's awesome.
So this is an 18-wound model that can join a unit. That just cracks me up, you know? It's
she
like
is infantry.
Yeah. 18 wounds. She can't be obscured, but you can't shoot her because she's buried with 20 sisters. Oh, yep. She is an epic hero. She does have the classic, you know, pick your powers that most of the epic heroes we've been seeing have. However, she has 6 choices and she gets 2 of them. Some of these are ridiculously good.
Once she gets damaged, then it goes down to 1 or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah. 1 to 5 wounds remaining. But to be honest, she's buried in a squad. If she has 1 to 5 wounds remaining, she's getting trucked by something. So it's really, you're probably in a losing battle at that point.
Yeah, your army's toast at that point. So.
Mm-hmm. But like she gives out 6 up feel no pain. She gives out lethal hits to a unit. Or I think it's an aura, actually. And then she gives out, this is a tag, a friendly unit can perform any number of acts of faith per phase instead of only 1. That's pretty good. Fiery Heart gives you, if the unit is destroyed within 6 inches of her, you automatically get a 6 on the miracle die when they die. I mean, these are pretty good, but you have to remember, you have to pick 2s. They don't get all of this. They have to pick 2. And all of them are auras, it looks like. So it looks like they're tightening up the wording even on tagging a unit.
Yep.
Or not. This is all auras, but whatever.
Well, but I mean, but also with hers, though, it does say model, so it doesn't say the unit, so you can't, like, join her to a unit that's 20 and just spread it across the entire board.
Yeah, that's true.
So, plus, I guess.
Sure. Battle Sister Squad. Battle Line. Let's talk about this. Battle Line is the backbone of every Sororitas army. With that ability, helps you make Miracle Dice and Acts of Faith. So here we see the actual example of Battle Line, which we've talked about in previous episodes. But some interesting notes about the Sisters of Battle is they get an act of faith. You gain a miracle dice when you do it, and this is what the Cherub does for that squad now. And then if you control an objective marker that has this army with this unit in range of it, you gain another miracle dice. And then when this, like,
for
I
each
believe...
objective that for each objective that is controlled that has Defenders of the Faith ability gets it one. So
yep.
If
but
there's
then...
two objectives on your side and you hold both of them, you get two additional.
Yeah, but I was going to the War Gear ability, the Simulacrum.
Yep.
Imperialis. Each time
a little,
unit
it's a little
is
stick with the cage on top that they walk around with.
Yeah. Each time this unit is destroyed by the bearer's unit, you gain one miracle die. So this is when you kill something, you gain a miracle die too. So like Scott said, swimming.
That's where you go back to that St. Catherine goal. A unit can use unlimited of these. So I'm gonna have my Melta chick sitting next to me, and I'm just going to use all of them on them.
Yeah, I'm going to use this 3 to hit, so it automatically hits. I'm going to use this 2 to or 3 to wound, so it automatically wounds. And I'm going to use this 6 for damage, for 8 damage. Cool. That sounds fun.
For each shot.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if you... But anyway.
I got 18 dice. You're just dead.
I'm getting excited, because this next thing, it really has me laughing. And I think the whole community said this. This is the first indirect weapon that they have previewed for the new edition. However, it says the rules for indirect are going to be weapons with indirect fire in the profile are known as indirect weapons, blah, blah, blah. If there's no models in the target unit are visible to the attacking unit when you select the target, so that stays the same. So a lot of people think your whole unit needs to see it. It doesn't say your whole unit. It just says target unit is visible from the attacking unit. That means one little las gun or whatever sticking out can see you. They can negate these bonuses. However, going on to that, we go to indirect fires. You will subtract from the attack's hit roll, and the target gets the benefit of cover against the attack. Why this is funny? Because the new edition... heavy weapons, if you do not move, get +1 to hit. So, if you're firing indirect, you're basically hitting on your normal ballistic skill again. Instead of, like, for example, this Exorcist. Its conflagration rockets are blast, heavy, ignores cover, indirect fire. So, the first thing that they revealed for indirect is that, hey, your indirect fire, it you can shoot stuff out of line of sight, but you get a -1 to hit and they get cover. And the first weapon is I get +1 to hit, so I ignore that, essentially being heavy and staying still, and I ignore cover. So The first thing that you revealed just ignores the completely set of rules you have for whatever. You know what? We're going to go with it. But I just think it's kind of hilarious. That's what you're going to choose to reveal indirect fire with.
And if the tables are similar size, it's 36-inch range, so you're not getting away from this thing and standing on an objective.
Yep. All right, now let's take a look at Borgen Ball's Lance of Illumination. Scott, what do you think of this thing? You've been a Vol player before.
Yeah. I mean, I would like to see her data sheet, because, you know, I mean, it's good. She hits on a 2, 5 attacks on the big strike, devastating wound, strength 8, -2, 3 damage. Her sweep is 10 attacks. Hits on 2s, strength 5, -1, 1 damage. I mean, she's essentially a heavy bolter, I guess, in with the other one, but...
Well, I think the heavy bolter is now AP0.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's good. I think, you know, she's not as deadly as she used to be, but they have said that this game should be less deadly than it previously was, so that would line up, I guess.
Yep.
I don't know.
Now, Rejoice the Fallen. This is their stratagem, and we're going to give you the quick rundown. You can be shot when you get shot.
Yeah, you shoot on
death. They've already showed us one of these before. That's why I did it quick.
I think one of theirs currently has this ability already, I believe, right?
Yes, they do.
Yeah, like Martyred Lady can shoot when they die or something like that.
Yep.
I don't know. I mean, it's nice to be able to shoot when you get shot, but I'd just rather just not get shot.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. Now we're going to switch gears. We're going to move over to World Eaters. Now, this is interesting because I like World Eaters.
Votan.
We'll get to Votan. I want to do World Eaters next. We're going to do all three. Don't worry. Don't worry, Scott. You know what? For Scott's sanity, we're going to go to Votan since...
Nope.
Yeah. No. World Eaters. It's too late.
I already changed. All right.
Yeah, that's why I thought. Anyway, Votann.
I'm going to quote Dan Sammons here. They got a fourth nerf.
So, Leagues of Votann, Army Rules, Eyes of the Ancestors. This is you. If your army is from Leagues of Votann, each time an enemy unit destroys a League of Votann unit from your army, they gain one judgment token. An enemy can never have more than two judgment tokens. So this is actually kind of interesting because previously there was no limit on judgment tokens. So you could have somebody out there with like 17, but you wouldn't get any effect over three because it said three plus on the last one. But now there's a maximum of two. So, and this is if you have one judgment token against them, they get to add one to the hit roll. If they have one, two, they get to add one to the hit roll and the wound roll. Now,
hey, all the Votann players can throw away that token that says three on it. They only need the tokens that have the one and the two on it now.
You just made my brain hurt. Anyway, at the start of the battle, select a unit from opponent's army. This is their Oathbound, whatever. I don't know where this goes, but it's a detachment rule. So I'm assuming it's you pick something and it gets three judgment tokens or two judgment tokens. And at the start of any command phase, that enemy is destroyed. You gain the CP depending on how early in the battle it is destroyed. And then it gives you a chart on what battle round, 1 and 2, 3, 3 and 4, 2, and 5th is 1. Now, we're going to go ahead and take a look at this unit here. I think that they need to stop with the sticky because, Jesus, everything's sticky. Every troop is sticking. And what I mean by that is they're sticking objectives, right? Because this thing, these guys do it too, the Hearthkin Warriors. However, yep. a nerf that is here is the ballistic skill. We can see that the ballistic skill on all the stuff in the squad is hitting on fours except for these heavy weapons. So for the heavy weapons to hit on a four, they need to stand still. Now, I'm not sure if there's any cap to pluses to hit. So if you're shooting at something with a judgment token, if you can get plus two to hit with, let's say, the heavy weapons, so you can be hitting on a three again. That is something that I don't know. But I will say that a ballistic skill nerf to four plus is a little bit tough to swallow. But I see why with, you know, how they ended up doing judgment tokens with a plus to hit roll. I like the plus to hit roll more than the auto wounding on six to hit because the auto wounding on six to hit was ungodly strong and I don't think they realized that. And now I think they do. But I don't know if nerfing everything to a four plus was the way to go. Hopefully their points reflect this and they're not super overpriced. Because
yeah,
being,
hopefully they're more of a horde army or something like that.
Or at least more reasonably priced, maybe 10 or 11 point Hearthkin Warriors, not 12, 13.
Yeah. I did see that the comms array, they changed that. So each time you use a stratagem on the unit, on a 5+, you get a CP back. Kind
of yep. Cool. And you know what? We're seeing more of the CP generation from squads and stuff, and just in general. And it makes me curious as to how much CP we're going to end up getting throughout the game and if it's going to be nearly as important with only six stratagems, but having the core book. So we'll see. But anyway...
Are we going to be drowning in that resource? It doesn't right. matter in the end.
Right. Interesting side note. The high last rotary cannon sustained hits. I like that. But it is down from, nine shots down to six?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Anyway, moving right along. The Hearth...
Magnarils. Yeah. Oh, the land fortress.
What I like is that the Magnarail no longer ignores Imbolne. Thank you. Thank you. Stop that crap. The stuff that ignores Imbolne just bothers me. And it bothers me because Imbolne is meant to be something that protects the unit from stuff that is like ultra deadly. And then you went and go ahead and said, you know what? This thing is so deadly, you don't even get that. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. I didn't like that my superhero chaplain would get vaporized by it. Anyway, continuing on. Hecaton Land Fortress. I'm just turning into a bitter old man sometimes. Anyway.
You got an event sometime, so.
Yeah, Scott, talk to us about this land fortress.
So it's T12. 2-up save still. 16 wounds. Counts as 5 models on an objective. The OC5 or whatever. And then it has the heavy Magna Rail cannon that Ben was just lamenting about. Has devastating wounds and is heavy. It hits on a 4+, so if you don't move, it's a 3. Strength 18, -4, D6 +6. Devastating Wounds, is that the mortals on sixes to wound?
Yes.
Okay. So pretty good there. Melee, it's still got the six attacks. Hits on four, strength eight, AP zero, one damage. So, let's see. It's a transport, but the transport is on the backside. How many models it holds, but it doesn't say on this. So.
Yeah, so there's a backside to the data sheet that's going to tell you, because when they previewed the Land Raider, they had a front and a back. The back had the transport capacity and war gear options, and the front was what we're looking at for this Land Fortress.
Yeah. In the shooting phase, after this model is shot, select one enemy unit that it scored a hit against in the phase. Until the end of phase, each time a friendly model is disembarked from this transport, makes an attack at that enemy unit, you can reroll the wound roll. So you know, it's got a bunch of guns on it, so as long as it's still the same as it was before, where it has a bunch of guns, so you can shoot at a few different targets and give whatever got out reroll wounds against those units. That's pretty good. Again, rerolls. Let's just hand them out, but they're rare.
Yep.
It does have ignore cover with one of the upgrades, and then when it gets down to less than five or less wounds, you subtract one from the hit roll.
Yep. Conversion is now a special rule. This used to be Votan specific. I mean, the Tech Marine had a version of it too that was really poorly worded, but the Votan were the first ones we really saw the conversion beamers come out for. But now it's definitely a universal special rule. And then what that means now is that if you're further than 12 inches away, a 4-up is going to be a critical hit. So that'll mean that like sustained hits will be on like a 4-up instead of a 6-up. Anyway.
Yeah.
Hey, let's go over this stratagem real quick. You get to shoot what shot you.
Yeah.
But this one's 2 CP.
Because they shoot harder because they hit on fours instead of threes.
I guess so. I guess so. Anyway,
yep.
Moving right along. Scott, why don't you go ahead and just do it up. World Eaters, go, my friend.
All right. World Eaters. So their army-wide thing is Blessing of Khorne. Blood Tithe's gone.
Aha.
Yep. Apparently that is not a good thing to do. So basically, at the start of the battle round, you roll 8d6 and to activate up to two blessings from the Khorne of Blessings list. Each blessing specifies the dice result requires. When the number is specified, double or triple that value or higher is required. You can only activate each blessing of Khorne once per battle round. Unused dice from the blessing of Khorne are then discarded. Once activated, blessing of Khorne applies to all units in your army with this ability until the end of the battle round. The blessings are Rage Fueled Invigoration, any double. Roll add 2 inches to the move characteristic of models in this unit. Wrathful Devotion, any double. So you need two different sets of doubles to get both of these. So it's not just you use up the one double for the one and you need another double for this one. Which with eight dice you should get at least one double, most likely two every time you roll. Models in this unit get a Feel No Pain of 6+ ability of 6+ Feel No Pain. If the models in the army have Feel No Pain, add one to their Feel No Pain rolls. So that's kind of something from 7th is like where you could give buffs of a Feel No Pain and then it would just add stack onto it, make it even better. So, Martial Excellence, doubles of 3+, so a 3 or better on your doubles. Melee weapons equipped models in this models get sustained hits 1. So exploding sixes. Total Carnage, double 4+ or any triple. Each time a model is destroyed by a melee attack, if the model has not fought in this phase on a six, on a roll d6 on a 4+, do not remove play, you get to fight on death. Warp Blades, double 5+ or any triple. Melee weapons equipped by models used to have lethal hits ability. Which one's lethal hits again?
Six is to hit auto wound.
Okay. So exploding sixes plus six is hit auto wound. And then the last one, Unbridled Bloodlust, on a double 6 or triple 4+, you'll get advance in charge for your army. I know you're rolling 8 dice, so you're going to get at least one double. But man, I can see where it would feel really freaking bad when you really need that turn where you need the advance in charge. And like you can really just win the game with advance in charge and then you don't get it. Or you need it so you can actually stay in the game or something. You know, maybe that's just bad planning, but at least you do this before you move. So you
I didn't mind the Warp Storm thing, but like I like the Blood Tithe a little bit more than this, obviously. This kind of feels like good luck. But to be fair, vacuum, right? We don't know if there's ways to manipulate this, if there's all this other stuff. Like I know that the Khorne Berserkers here that we'll talk about, they can give you a reroll, but like there might be other ways, but we won't be super negative Nancy's, but there it is. Keep going, Scott.
Next up is then they go into the Khorne Berserkers. They're still melee beat sticks as they are now. They have the ability Blood Surge, which is very similar, if not worded exactly the same as the previous one, except they do add the caveat that you cannot Blood Surge if you have battle if you've been battle shocked. And they have an asterisk, and when you go down and read the asterisk, it talks about if a transport is destroyed, the unit that gets out of the transport is considered battle shocked. So that's pretty big actually, because I think when you're battle shocked, your OC goes to zero.
Zero, correct.
So you can't control an objective. So you can't put a transport on an objective. If that transport gets blown up, the unit that gets out cannot hold that objective. So
That's such a good rule. I can't even begin to describe to you.
I mean that's a pretty common strategy you see all the time in ninth edition.
And now Harlequins are over there like, am I a joke to you? Yeah, now you are.
You got to stand on the ground and get shot just like the rest of us. So Icon of Khorne, each time in a Blessings of Khorne roll, if the bearer unit is within range of an objective marker, you can reroll one of the dice. Here's your rerolls again. So there's a Berserker Chain Fist that's four attacks on a 3+, strength 5, minus 1, 1 damage. The Eviscerator is three attacks at a 3+, strength 8, minus 2, 2 damage. So it seems like their damage output isn't that far off from what they currently are. So their leadership is only 6+, so that's pretty good actually. I think 6+, yeah, because you got to roll over it, not under. So yeah, 6+ is pretty decent. Then we get to the angry man, Angron. He is T11, so he is a beast. He has Deep Strike and Deadly Demise. He either has 18 attacks at strength 8 minus 2, 2 damage, or 8 attacks at strength 16 minus 4, d6 plus 2. He is just like all the other named characters that we've seen previewed, where he has blessings off to the side. He has like he can pick one of these different blessings. He does have the ability Reborn in Blood each time in the Blessings of Khorne roll. If he is destroyed, you roll triple sixes and you can bring him back. The Moloch no longer counts as destroyed and he's placed in reserves with his full wounds remaining. So that is done in your command phase, so you can bring him back the same that next turn, right? Is that correct, Ben? So he at least he doesn't have to sit out a full turn or anything like that. So if he dies like in your opponent's turn and you have top around, you roll your triple sixes, he comes back. I mean, rolling triple sixes is a challenge. I mean, I think he comes back with full wounds, right?
Yeah,
Doesn't
full
say.
wounds though.
Yep, full wounds. His three wrathful presences are world leaders within 6 inches of him. Each time they roll a charge roll, add one to the roll. While world leaders are, and the next one is Infectious Rage. Add one to the attack characteristics of melee weapons equipped by models in that unit for the purpose of the ability. Use the starting strength of. If the unit has a starting strength of one, if it's below its starting strength, it has lost one or more wounds. It has to be below its starting strength, sorry, on that one. And then Righteous Slaughter, while friendly world leaders with a 6-inch of this model, each time you make an attack, you can reroll the wound roll, reroll the hit roll. Not wound roll, hit roll. So here's more rerolls, our favorite thing. He has a 2+ save and a 4+ invuln, so. He moves 14, so I think that's 2 inches more than now, right? Is it
No, it's
12 inch movement?
2 inches less. He moves
Oh, he's
sixteen right now.
16? Okay. As you can tell, I've played a lot of World Eaters. So he's, I mean, it's going to come down to points. He's Epic Hero and all that fun stuff. Primarch, Daemon. His Deadly Demise is D6. So when he dies, potential explode for D6 damage. Then next, from the Lord of Skulls, they previewed the Daemon Gore Cannon, which is Blast, 18 inches, D6 attacks. 3 plus weapon skill, strength 14, minus 4, d6 plus 2. I think that's the belly gun, right?
Yep.
And then they go into their strat for 1 CP. It's called Blood Offering. You can use it in any phase. When a world leader unit army is destroyed, is within range of objective marking control, you can use a stratagem on that unit, even though it's destroyed. The objective marker remains under your control, even if you have no models within range of it until your opponent controls it at the start or end of any turn. Yay, you make it sticky. Another theme. You look at some of the themes that are going on in 10. Sticky is a thing.
Yep.
Battle Shock seems to be it's going to have some critical parts to it.
Yep.
The thing about the transports makes the Tyranid Battle Shock thing a little bit it could be a little bit better, because like if you use that, you could literally turn off the objective. Like you could go from them controlling no objectives then, using that Shadow of the Warp thing or whatever that they have, right? Make their whole army do a battle shock. If they fail,
yeah. That's true, but however, it's still random. That's what Root's complaint was.
I'm just saying it makes it slightly better.
Yeah.
It's not as awful as.
Hey, I just want to point out that if you could be a World Eaters player, get none of the Khorne stuff you want to get, and then get battle shocked and hold no objectives against Tyranids. That's something that could happen. That's just.
Yeah. I mean, I like that, they're taking some of the certainty and, the risk mitigation that Sisters used to have seems to be gone. So hopefully the points get more appropriate based upon that. Now that there's more uncertainty, they can't auto hit 12 inch charges if they have their double sixes showing.
Mm-hmm.
And also just the threat of that too. That used to always just affect the game so much because they just had 2 sixes. You knew they could charge 12 inches. So.
Right.
So I like it. I like that they're putting more uncertainty into the game, putting a little risk in there, but I think the good players will figure out how to mitigate that risk and maximize it to their advantage. So
yep.
Hopefully Fate Dice go away too. That'd be nice.
I like my Fate Dice though.
Yeah, because it takes the risk out of it.
Yeah, I like
not that. Like hitting auto hitting with your D cannons on a charge.
Yeah, I like that a lot. You're right though. Anyway, let's talk about these new Gaunts. God, they got me. He's like woo. So anyway,
these are the Neuro Gaunts, right, or whatever they're called.
The Barbagaunts are what's got me all unfurled.
Okay? Oh, the Barbagaunts. Okay.
So Barbagaunts are like the new artillery looking Gaunts. Their weapon was just released. It's 24-inch range, D6 shots, blast, heavy, ballistic skill 4. So they hit better than Votann with the heavy weapons. Strength 5, AP nothing, 1 damage. And then obviously against large units, blah, 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 it'll be better. But Barbagaunts, disruption, bombardment. In your shooting phase, after this unit has shot, if an enemy infantry unit was hit by one or more of these attacks made by its biocannons until the end of your opponent's next turn, that enemy is disrupted. While disrupted, subtract 2 from its move characteristic, subtract 2 from advance and charge rolls made for it. What?
So if you go to advance and you have a 5-inch move.
Yeah, you're going to be a 3-inch minus move. And then if you roll, let's say a 2 on your advance roll, you're only going to get a 1. I think you're only going to get a 1. I think you can't go below a 1 because it's physically impossible, right? On a roll of a die. So at minimum, you are going to get plus 1. But yeah.
You sure on that?
And what do you mean, am I sure on that?
Currently, if you advance through difficult terrain, it's just minus 2 to your total move.
But that's way different than a minus 2 from a roll.
That's true.
I don't see how you can go below a 1 on a roll. There's just no way. It's physically impossible.
Yeah, I suppose it's to the roll, yeah. Okay. So in theory, you could end up with minus 4 to your advances.
So that looks really gross.
Seems good.
I mean, we're looking at this with the vacuum of 9th edition right now, which has lots of infantry. There, I have a feeling that there's going to be more transports and more vehicles, just because from what I've seen so far, the vehicles are going to be hitting on threes. I don't know if they have some special rule where they don't get plus one to hit for standing still. I don't think that that's going to be a thing. So some of these vehicles are going to be, like, very necessary, which looks okay. You know, this might seem super good right now, but when we get into the thick of it, it's only really good against certain armies. And I don't think that, from what I'm seeing from the Neurogaunts, which are their data slates right underneath this, that they're going to be particularly hard to kill. So they are T3 with one wound with a 6-up save. So maybe you get one turn of I get to slow you down, and then they just get annihilated. And honestly, if I'm just thinking about it more and more, just like, are you really going to get screwed by this? I could see a top player abusing this by having, like, I don't know, 6 squads of these guys and then just coming out each turn and then making a Custodes army miserable.
Well, but unless the Custodes can just ignore it.
That's true.
That is true. Like that. You know, I mean, like Death Guard, I could see them just ignoring it flat out.
Right.
Because they currently have a rule that lets them ignore things like that. So.
Yep. So going on to.
Hopefully there's a strat or something that ignores, like, allows you to counter this, put some counterplay into the game, you know.
Well, I mean, I would hope that there is at least some of that stuff, but I don't want to get all crazy like we did at 9th, where I've got a thumb thing to ignore every special rule in the game eventually. You know what I mean? Like, the best analogy I can use for this is cooking yourself into a corner. And what that means for a chef is you keep adding spices and other stuff to try and enhance your dish, and then you end up tasting something and it tastes like shit because you added too much crap to it. That's called cooking yourself into a corner. So I just hope they don't do that again, because they definitely did that with some of the stuff in 9th edition. But anyway, back to these Neurogaunts. These Neurogaunts, if they're within Synapse range, it has the Synapse keyword as well, which means that it extends the Synapse range. And honestly, they need this. Because they say it right underneath here. Synapse is a crucial keyword in the new edition. So in the Tyranid Faction Focus, I go over what Synapse does. It has to do a lot with Battle Shocks, etc. These Gaunts have a leadership of 8. So if you get Battle Shocked, you're worth nothing. You're nothing.
Yeah. So. Well, because like, I think their Synapse lets them roll 3d6. So they got to get over that 8. So
yep.
Much more reliable. Yeah, I don't know. I take everything in these Warcom articles with a grain of salt, but I say something is crucial because these guys are not competitive players.
Yeah. I feel like they're car salesmen that are handed pieces of paper to talk about something with very little information. That's what I feel like. Yes. Their job is to sell the crap out of it.
Yep. And I mean, from a, from a casual perspective, I think they're perfect. But when us guys that are a little more competitive trying to dig into it a little bit more, so.
Yep. So, that has been what has been released so far since our last episode. I know that we're just rehashing a lot of stuff that's already been put out in the world, but we wanted to give you our opinions on it and what to do about it. And again, we've already started our grind into 10th for the patrons, so if you want to check us out there, you can. We did a live Q&A. We're going to be doing stuff like, you know, comparing and contrasting with a 9th edition to 10th edition, how to prepare yourself, etc. If you want to check it out, you can check us out at www.patreon.com/AW40K. You can also check out our website at advancedwarfare.com or advancedwarfare40k.com. Don't go to advancedwarfare.com. That's like straight up Call of Duty. But anyway, you know, if you want to check it out, we also offer some personal coaching if you're interested in that as well. But you can check out our cool little bios and all that jazz. You know, we're looking forward to 10th edition. We're looking forward for a refresh. We're also closing out some tournaments in 9th edition. I'm attending Motor City Mayhem. I have decided this is going to launch after the date of the cutoff date for their rules. But I'm going to be bringing the Black Templars to that. As kind of like the last, I don't know what they're going to be like in 10th, so I shouldn't say last hurrah, but last hurrah of 9th, we'll say. You know, and the reason I say that is because they are exceptionally good right now. They don't get the respect they should because not a lot of top players play them. But like, I can make this army sing. And everybody that knows me as a Templar fanboy, I'm like ultimate fanboy, but I legit think that they are good, and I'm having a blast playing them.
They're just not as easy as Iron Hands.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's for sure. But anyway, and then we have the Kansas City team tournament, which Advanced Warfare is sending a team to. Not getting the respect we deserve from the other teams out there, but we're going to take that to our advantage, and we're going to bring the pain. You know, I'm not going to say we're going to win it, because that's silly. That everything about a Warhammer tournament takes luck, and you know, it's kind of amplified in a team tournament, because you have pairings that are set up in a little bit different way, and you have five people that you're working with that could have five sets of different dice rolls. But we're definitely going to go make some waves and have a lot of fun. Scott, do you want to touch on anything like that? I know you're super excited about it.
Yeah, I am too. I think our team can stand up to any other team there. I don't, you know, I think we're capable of beating any of their teams. So we might need some matchups to go our way, but I'm excited. I think it's going to be a fantastic time. That's a really, like, team events is what really got me into competitive 40K at the level that I am now, where like I was kind of just dipping my toe in, and then I went to ATC with Ben and a few other guys, and like it just opened the door, and I was like, I never looked back after that. So I can't highly recommend.
Was a blast.
Yes.
I think my favorite story from ATC and Scott is his Castellan. This was back when Castellan and Guard were a thing. Blew up in the middle of his army, killed a lot of his army, and then he came to me and he's like, my stupid Castellan blew up in the middle of my army. I'm like, well, that can happen, man. So just make sure if they've got the gunpowder not to do that. And then the next game he came back to me and goes, my Castellan blew up again in the middle of my army. I'm like, could he kill it turn one? He's like, yeah. Like, why is it in the middle of your army? We talked about this.
No, I put it on the edge. on the edge. But it still got most of my army.
Oh, because you rolled enough range. But anyway, got a nickname at that ATC because we just ended up seeing the flyer list and being like, nobody wants to fight that. So I ended up fighting every single flyer list except for one, which Scott fought one of them. But like I was exceptional with my flyer list. So I was the flyer cannibal is what they called me.
I just liked our Bobby G Starfish list. Like,
yeah,
repulsors.
Five. It was five repulsors, regular repulsors.
With Bobby G in the middle.
With Bobby G in the middle, that's right. And that list was meant for one thing and one thing only. Taking points from some schmuck or eating it hard in the dirt.
God, we stole that game against that Necron player.
Yep. That was great.
Dice be dice.
Dice be dice. But anyway, I don't have anything else for you guys tonight. Scott, any closing thoughts for the folks out there?
Mastodon is $610.
Yeah, that thing better be able to kill a child. That's all I gotta say.
It's still resin.
Oh,
but the
man,
new model that's... is $610.
If Games Workshop does hear this, get your Forge World shit together. I know that there are popular like Space Marine fanboys that will buy that model. But none of us at home, am I going to buy that if it's competitive? Okay, yeah, probably. But I don't want to.
I'm not. No.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm not. Nope, you're right. I'm not. Yeah. But anyway, let's make Forge World a little bit more accessible and affordable. Okay, I don't want to spend 10 grand for a Warlord Titan. And make it plastic. You have the capability. We've seen you have the capability. Cutting edge technology on plastic injection molds, and you can't make the Mastodon plastic. I know you can. Do it. Anyway, that's my ran over. Yeah. The only reason I'm ranting actually is because I'm staring at a Sigismund model right now from Forge World. The sword was so brittle it has broken at least 7 times from just being present in air. Like, small vibrations from my house will break this sword. And I just got to say, just make it plastic, man. I know you can do it. I want a Sigismund that doesn't break to the vibration of a computer fan.
Well, you know, he did get broken by Abaddon, so...
Why you got to bring that up? Why you got to bring that up? Because you know...
It's canon, man.
It's no, canon. It did not happen. I refuse. I hate Space Marines don't age. Sigismund only lost to Abaddon because he was old. What? All right, that's enough. Screw you, Scott. Anyway.
I just like rubbing that one in a little bit.
Oh, yeah, I know you do. But anyway, guys, that's all we have for you tonight. Thank you guys for listening, and we will catch you next time.